Recently had an opportunity to talk with Matt George of Locked On Kings for one of our NBA previews, the Sacramento Kings, with the hot and heavy push, trying to do one of these a day. We did not get a chance to talk about some news that came down after the interview. Russell Westbrook signing with the Sacramento Kings, and also Keegan Murray, University of Iowa, not so much alum, but a former Hawkeye star, was signed a rookie extension. We do actually talk about that possibility in the interview, but want to be up front. The Russell Westbrook and Murray news had happened after we had talked about it. So let's get to Matt George. Another NBA preview today, and we are talking Sacramento Kings. Matt George covers the Kings, and Locked On Kings podcast is with us right now. Matt, how you doing today?
I am good, my friend. Ready for another NBA season. Sacramento Kings might be a little bit interesting, but it's always good to have NBA basketball back. Well,
at least they can keep it interesting. You know, looking back on last year in, you know, reviewing kind of the season, obviously it was a turbulent one. You know, just tell me the, you know, bullet points, tell the listeners the bullet points, refresh the memories of the Kings from last year.
Train wreck. Everything fell apart. Yeah, it wasn't a great year by any means. It started with the hope of DeMar DeRozan joining the De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis core in Sacramento to get this team back into the playoffs and even further than the first round, which they were in a couple of years before that. And it turned into a season where Mike Brown was fired in December. De'Aaron Fox was traded at the trade deadline for Zach LaVine, one of the worst contracts in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And the Sacramento Kings ended up getting destroyed on their home floor in game 83 of the season, which was the first play-in game against the Dallas Mavericks. They got obliterated by Anthony Davis and company on their home floor to kind of end what was a very, very tough season. And less than an hour, around an hour after that game happened, Monty McNair, the Kings general manager, was fired. So there's a new general manager in Scott Perry, who has made Doug Christie the whole time a full-time head coach here in Sacramento. And that's where we're at. A reset, maybe, hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah. What did you see from Doug Christie, Coach Christie, there at the you know, the tail end of the season? Obviously, it wasn't a good finish by any means. He wasn't put in a great situation either. But what did you see from him? What kind of you know, philosophies, strategies, or just coaching style does he have that Mr. Perry decided was something that he wanted to hold on to?
Well, first and foremost, Doug stopped the sinking ship from completely going under. Mm-hmm. The Kings were in a rough spot on a six-game losing streak when Mike Brown was fired, and Doug managed to get them to turn it around pretty quickly. So credit to him for that. The analogy that Doug always used was he was trying to fix an airplane last season while it was in the middle of while it was in the air, and that's tough to do. So he was able to at least get that team stabilized, if nothing else. But there are obvious issues with the roster construction and how this team works together and comes together, and that's what resulted in that play-in disaster. But Doug is, he's a hero of the city for many reasons, just because of his time with the early 2000s Kings, and Doug is all about the unfinished business that he feels he has here in Sacramento, because that team was never able to actually win a championship and bring a title here. So he has a little extra motivation to specifically make it work and win here in Sacramento. So I'm sure that worked in his favor. Plus, he's very well liked and respected, not just in the Kings locker room, but around the league. So hopefully, now that he's got the main spot, that he can figure out how to do something that many others have not been able to do here in Sacramento over the past almost two decades.
Some departures. Jake LaRavia signs with the Lakers. Jonas Valanciunas traded to the Nuggets. Drew Eubanks is in. Dario Saric was acquired in that trade. Dennis Schroeder signs a three-year, $45 million deal. And re-signed Doug McDermott, a Creighton alum, of course. Neat Clifford was the number 24 overall pick. I guess, tell me if someone were to carry an optimistic view heading into the season for the Kings, what would that look like?
I think it looks like Doug Christie being able to find a way to make all these pieces of a puzzle work. It kind of looks like a roster that you threw together on like a NBA 2K, or that you, if you just have a interesting draft on fantasy, it's like this hodgepodge of pieces, a ton of talent, but how do you find a way to make it coexist? How do you find a way to make it work to a level that is successful in a very difficult Western Conference. But also for the Sacramento Kings, this season, as much as wins are still important, the Sacramento Kings are all about establishing a new identity. That's been what Scott Perry has talked a lot about and Doug Christie has echoed. It's about establishing a new identity, a new culture here in Sacramento that the Kings have lacked really since that Beam Team 1 year where they made the playoffs. So that's the primary goal for this season, and the hope is that you can get complete buy-in from this roster and that the two can be mutually exclusive. When you establish this new culture of being kind of a tough, gritty, hardworking defensive first team, that the wins will come with it. But on paper, it never has really seemed like this is a group that could coexist, certainly on the defensive end too. So we'll see.
Yeah. Matt George, again, Locked On Kings podcast, talking Sacramento Kings, our latest NBA preview. Matt, from the other end of that, if things do go awry, these pieces don't necessarily fit together, what do you think that looks like in terms of a potential teardown, a complete rebuild in the near future?
Yeah, I don't think the Sacramento Kings have too much interest in a full-on reset. Mm-hmm. And even if they did, the likelihood of one happening is pretty difficult because of two contracts in particular. Zach LaVine's contract, where he's making almost $50 million over the next two seasons, $50 million a year over the next two seasons. And then Domantas Sabonis, who is still in the early stages of the deal that Monty McNair gave him here in Sacramento. So those are two near $50 million per year players that are going to be tough to move. DeMar DeRozan at $24.5 million. The saving grace with DeRozan is next year's contract is partially guaranteed. So maybe you can find a way to move that. I thought DeMar would be traded this summer, to be completely honest with you, but the Kings decided to keep him and commit to him, but also the market this summer was just very, very strange around the NBA in general. So I do think the Sacramento Kings will look to hopefully be able to move one of them or want to try and move one of them at the trade deadline, regardless of how this team is doing, unless they're completely overachieving. But finding a suitor to be willing to take on those contracts and give you something of value in return is going to be a tall task. So Monty might be, Scott Perry might be a little hamstrung into what he can do short term, and he's just going to try and make the most of it.
Right. Locked in the Midwest here. We have a lot of Iowa fans. We talked about Keegan Murray last year, and he is entering a stage where, he can sign a rookie extension. What do you think the optimism is from the perspective of either side, I guess, in doing that and working something out and, maybe the optimism of building around him?
Yeah, that's a big storyline of this season. It's a big year for Keegan. Anytime you're on a contract year, it's significant. And Keegan, it feels like this is his last chance to show his capability of being a elite level like two-way player, because he stepped up so much on the defensive end and improved significantly as a rebounder, but his three-point shooting percentage and scoring has steadily declined since that first season, and he's never really showcased that ability to create his own shot and score off the dribble and become that kind of reliable offensive option. So Keegan's been challenged to be more aggressive. In his first preseason game, he certainly looked more aggressive, which is a positive sign. I think the general understanding is that the Kings will be able to work out a deal with Keegan, that an extension will happen. The Kings, quite frankly, do not have enough bodies, or really any bodies other than Keegan, of that like 6'8", 6'9", variety that can guard multiple positions. Keegan is an essential piece of this team because of what he can do on the defensive end and just because of his size simply. So I don't think the Kings could afford to not bring him back and re-sign him. So I imagine a contract is more than likely to happen.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and, take a look at just the overall vibe of what could come from this season, Matt. When it comes to defining success, I guess, for the Kings this year, what would that look like from a front office, from a fan base perspective, do you think?
Well, first and foremost, it's establishing that new identity. It's establishing that new Doug Christie culture, and I think each can go hand in hand. Doug wants this team to be aggressive, to defend 94 feet, to win the fight every single night is what he talks about. And I believe if they were to be able to become that, if that became their identity, that was natural to them, then the winning would follow, or your likelihood of winning skyrockets significantly. So is what this season is primarily about. It's just establishing that identity. But in terms of like wins and losses goals, I mean, this is a team that is staring another play-in spot likely in the face. So finding a way to win enough difficult Western Conference to avoid the play-in and move into the top six and go right into the playoffs would be a tremendous achievement for the Kings. It just looks like this team is destined to be, for lack of a better term, like mid, right in the middle of the pack, which is a really tough position to be that this organization was in for a long period of time, because while tanking is not a fun experience and not a winning recipe by any means, if you're one of the worst teams in the league, you at least get a higher draft pick. And the Kings have been in that in the mid to late lottery before, and it's not done a whole lot for them over the years. So it's either win enough to truly get into the playoffs and hopefully be competitive and win a playoff series, or lose enough to be able to find the star that you no longer have after De'Aaron Fox was traded in the draft. So find a way to fall under one of those categories, not in the middle of the two.
Right. Matt George again, Locked On Kings podcast, Sacramento Kings NBA preview today. Matt, really appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the season, okay?
We'll do our best. Always a pleasure. Thank you.